The Bible is a great book for learning. It's full of all kinds of lessons that we can pick up from history and from the mistakes of other people. And yet human nature seems to remain much the same. We continue to make the same dumb mistakes over and over again. For instance, in the book of Judges, we see that the children of Israel had begun to conquer the promised land, did not get rid of all the enemy as God had told them to do, but they did reasonably well until they got over there in that second chapter of Judges, and now at the sixth verse it says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land." And the Living Bible on the next two verses is very, very interesting. It says, "The people remained true to the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime, and as long afterward as the old men of his generation were still living, those who had seen the mighty miracles of the Lord had done for Israel." It's interesting that as long as Joshua was alive, or the men who had been a part of Joshua's team and had seen what God had done, the people remained true. But they died. And the verse 9 says, "They buried him in the border of his inheritance and Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." They say, as far as inheritance is concerned, that the first generation makes it, the second generation keeps it, the third generation throws it away. It seems like in a spiritual realm that the first generation comes up with some rock-ribbed concrete convictions, and because of their givenness gathers around them a group of men who also catch the vision, and it becomes a movement. And then the first generation begins to die off. Actually, in reproduction, the new production model should always be an improvement on the old, but somehow it seems that as it passes from generation to generation, it loses some of its vigor, and also it seems like vision becomes clouded and people begin to forget the ancient landmarks and go in different directions. And I don't know why that's true, but it seems like it is. God forbid that we should be a generation which would be going downhill. But often in these accounts that we find in the Bible, there will be tucked away a verse somewhere, or maybe a couple of verses, that really have a tremendous impact if we just study them. One of those situations we find in the fifth chapter of Judges, the sixth verse. There's a man by the name of Shamgar. As near as I can tell, he's only mentioned a couple of places in the Bible. In verse 6 of chapter 5 in Judges, it says, "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways." What that meant to me was that the Philistines had taken over the country, and that they were so bad about robbing people and stealing from them that the Israelites didn't even dare go down the turnpikes. They had to go through the shunpikes, the little paths out of the way, in order to escape the Philistines. But here comes Shamgar, and you back up to chapter 3 and verse 31. And it says this, "And after him," it's talking about one of the judges, "and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Very interesting. Evidently, Shamgar was a cowboy. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had an ox goad. So certainly, as a cowboy, he was not trained in war, did not have the proper weapons of war, and should have, undoubtedly, in the minds of many, taken the position, "I'm a cowboy, and what's going on with the Philistines is none of my business." And he could have rationalized by saying, "Boy, I don't have anything to fight these guys with, and besides, we're supposed to have an army to do that somewhere." But it says that he slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And I thought about that, and wondered how in the world could one cowboy kill 600 Philistine fighting men with an ox goad. I conclude he didn't just jump out there and get after them and say to the whole bunch, "Come on now, I'll get 600 of you." But I expect that he slipped around at night, and he'd see a Philistine standing guard, and slip up behind him and take that ox goad and run him through. In the morning, the Philistines would come out to check on their guard since he didn't show up and find him dead. And they finally figured out, uh-oh, somebody's getting us. And after he'd gotten 600 of them, they said, if we don't get out of this country, we're all going to be killed. And they took off. It says that old Shamgar delivered Israel. One man, ill-equipped, whose job it was not, went out and did a tremendous job. The moral in the story is this, actually. Shamgar took what he had, where he was, and did what he could. Period. Tremendous thought. For us, we cannot take what we don't have, but we can take what we do have. We obviously cannot be effective where we aren't, but we can, by the grace of God, be effective where we are. We need to bloom where we're planted. And even though we can take the position that it may not be our job, with the power of God and the call of God, we can take anything that we happen to have and do anything that God wants done, period. The world and the body of Christ is always filled with myriads of people who make excuse as to why they can't do what needs to be done. I don't have the proper equipment, and I'm not trained for it. And besides, nobody's asked me to do the job, and somebody else ought to be doing it. For us who know and love Christ, realizing that God is sovereign, knows what's going on, has all power, loves us, has our best interest at heart, and knows what's best for us at all times, we should be able, by the grace of God, to take what we have, where we are, and do what we can, period. That's the reason for my sending you the little picture of Shamgar, to remind you, even as it reminds me, since I have one hanging in my study, that we ought to be available to God to take what we have, where we are, and to do what we can. I trust that Shamgar will be an encouragement to you, even as he has been to me down through the years. God bless you.